Good day and welcome to this podcast of If Walls Could Talk. I'm John White, editor of Walls and Ceilings Magazine, and today I'm speaking with our friend Tom Harris of Tom Harris PUR Consulting. Hey Tom, happy spring. What's happening, man?
Well, thanks very much, John. Yeah, spring is definitely sprung here in Minnesota. We're up over 70 degrees these days. Everybody's outside cutting lawns, getting things ready for a great summer, you know?
And then snow in 2 days, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had that a couple of weeks ago, back and forth. And yeah, I think I have to refertilize.
Well, let's talk about weather fluctuation. And a part of dealing with that, the smart way is with spray foam. So this week, hey, there's been a lot of activity in the spray foam market since our last chat. And can you bring us up to speed?
Yeah, sure. Our last podcast was just before the Spray Polyurethane Foam Alliance. That's the SPFA. Their annual convention, and this year it was in Las Vegas.
I heard it's a great show. So, Tom, glad you attended. What are some of the key takeaways from that show?
Yeah, it was a great show, and I see BNP Media people were there as well covering it for us. So, thank you very much for that effort. But you know, there's new equipment, new formulations, approaches to doing foam, and a ton of training and education opportunities. I've never seen such a high level of information or education being offered to contractors in my entire 40 plus year career.
All right, listen, one at a time. So let's start here. Excuse me. What's new in equipment?
Sorry, John, I get excited about this new stuff. And well, how about a totally electric spray foam rig? The truck itself, all of the equipment, you know, we're no longer need power generation from generators, air compressors, or our equipment using fossil fuel. And the industry is, it can be completely battery powered. Air compressors, proportioners, and auxiliary equipment, you know, 100% autonomous, no plugging into the customer's power panel, no diesel, no gas-fired equipment. Even the truck itself can be powered with batteries now. Making foam in the field, you know, it's always relied on piston pump technology. Filling a cylinder with fluid, then pushing that fluid out of the cylinder with a piston. Each of the two chemicals, you know, we're a two-component system, A side and B side, they have their own pumps and cylinders. And we rely on a common yoke to connect the two cylinders and move the pistons in unison, resulting in a fixed volume of chemical moving down that heated hose section, forced out and forced together in an internally mixed gun and dispensed out the front. With the recent introduction of independent gear pumps, constant monitoring, and adjusting fluid flow, we get closer to what they call laminar flow, which is really the smooth movement of chemical through a hose. And that's very, really important. We get better mix capability at the head and more accurate ratio control. Once you combine all these improved capabilities in a report, the contractor can now has verified proof that the material he or she made that day meets the expectations of the raw material manufacturer and, more importantly, the building owner. These monitoring systems, you know, they can be fit onto most equipment that already exists in the field. The majority of new equipment, of course, includes this processing, monitoring, and reporting capability. And it's a huge leap forward for the industry.
So, Tom, real quick, are we talking for battery-operated machines? 18-volt, 24-volt, something higher?
Something higher, John. These, you know, we're pulling a lot of voltage in our equipment, and heating requires a lot of energy. So the batteries are, you know, the system that they had on display at the show, the battery itself is about 2 feet by 4 feet. by about 1.5, 2 feet high. They're big batteries because we're pulling, a lot of amperage and a lot of volts all day long in an 8 hour, 10 hour shift. It takes a pretty big battery.
It really does, and that's interesting stuff. I'd like that update. So, but you mentioned some new formulations. What's new there?
Well, John, there's two innovations that I seen at the show, and the first is the introduction of a 2-to-1 ratio. That's two parts of A side and one part of B side, and they're available for both open and closed cell. And they claim to have a much lower installed material cost, which is going to help contractors move more foam. And the second is a spray foam technology that meets all of the physical properties of standard foam, including, flame and fire performance, but without the use of what they call halogenated flame modifiers. And this one helps the industry address that environmental and health concern about using halogenated flame modifiers.
Dude, that could be a game changer. So, what about access to education?
Yeah, that's the third main point that I see coming out of the show. In the last 5, 10 years, I've seen a complete turnaround regarding access to information, and it's probably due to the access to the web and all that sort of thing. But access to information, training, education being offered by various members of the supply chain, which, includes the manufacturers, the distributors, and now there's a lot of third-party educators like trade associations and professionals like myself that offer education and training. And it hasn't happened previous to the last 5 years or so. We're really making great strides in making access to information and training an integral part of spray foam installation process, and that's key. The ultimate beneficiary, is going to be the building owner or the homeowner. I think the installed product of the future will be verifiably correct with this new equipment. It's manufactured in the field, so there's some variables there that have to be monitored, and now we have the capability to do so. It'll be installed by highly trained and capable installers. It's a win-win for the contractor. Their risk goes down when understanding goes up. And for the homeowner, they get what they paid for, and now we can prove it.
Hey, can you elaborate just a little bit more on the education piece?
Yeah, sure. As an example, from the conference, there was a new group out there called Roofers Only.
Let me guess, SPF and coatings for roofing application, right?
Yeah, it's a great name. It tells you exactly what's going on there. But there's a group of SPF, spray polyurethane foam, roofing contractor veterans that realize that SPF roofing sector, it needs a more in-depth training program. And this group intends to offer much more detailed and in-depth education around insulated and non-insulated roofs, coating only. They're going to look at building science, chemical and roofing practice safety, application, trips and traps, the roofing process, sales, marketing, troubleshooting, contracts, everything to run a profitable business. It's really quite a big bite of the elephant around training. And then they want to take the students out of the classroom and actually put them on a live roof where there's work going on and have them do the work for a week or so under constant supervision of those trainers. It's going to create, I think, the gold standard in spray foam roof training in the into the future. There's now SPF business training available from industry experts where we didn't have that in the past. Contractors would get into the business, stumble a little bit because they're usually technicians. And now we're asking them to run a business. And historically, there's been a lack of let's call it business training, for these new entry spray foam guys. And it's a struggle, it's challenging for them. So now there's a whole bunch of industry experts out there that you can tap into with various programs and whatnot that focus on the financial challenges facing SPF contractors. I mean, these classes or groups, they look at the individual business model, how that company is being run, how they create an estimate, marketing, overhead, all the things that go into making a profit or blindly going broke. And with all the education and information out there, there's no reason for a contractor to claim they didn't know.
On a side note, Tom, did you get the pulse of the SPF contractors regarding the impact of the current U.S. economy, global challenges, things like that facing the industry?
Yeah, I did, John. And a few people I talked to talked about rising prices of raw materials, supply chain issues, tariffs, and a slower economy. But they also reminded me, the same people, they reminded me that in a down economy, saving the homeowner money on heating and air conditioning takes on a new level of importance for them. And our industry, we do well. Most contractors I spoke to still fight the daily battles on a local level of highly aggressive competitive pricing, and everybody's chasing to the bottom line. As a result, you win fewer and fewer bids at lower and lower margins. Of course, they blame the other guy, but I see it as an opportunity to educate the building owner or the homeowner. Many of my clients have changed their sales approach from winning on price alone to educating the consumer to realize the value of a premium bid, and they're winning more work at higher margins. It's all about education and communication.
Tom, I think that sounds like a pretty good topic we can explore next time. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. To make more money, to be more profitable, to actually understand where your money's going and how to position your company against, I use the term chuck in a truck, but those that aren't quite as sophisticated as you would be, I think it's valuable for people to understand that and how to sell it.
I couldn't agree more, my friend, and I think that's a good note to wrap things up. So listen, you've been listening to Tom Harris in discussion with me, John Wyatt, of Walls and Ceilings for this special podcast of If Walls Could Talk. We wish you all a very happy spring. Enjoy the weather. And Tom, thanks again, my friend.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you next month, John. Thanks.